Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Jody E., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic. Today is Wednesday, October 11th, 2023. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 158, the second paragraph. Today's readers are Susan G., Tara L., and Lorraine N. The reference numbers for yesterday, Tuesday, October 10th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 20,730. The share ID for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,732. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees. For members, we are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover. Through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Candy P. to read the 12 steps of OA. Candy, press star 1 to unmute, please.
Good morning. The 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our voice. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for the opportunity to do service And thank you for this meeting. I pass.
Thank you so much, Candy P. And I will now ask Laura W. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Hi, it's Laura W., compulsive recovered overeater from Ohio, the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Tradition one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Number four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Number six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Tradition seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Laura W., with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you so much, Laura W. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone may share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the fourth edition of the Big Book on page 158, paragraph 2. I will now ask Susan G. to begin reading.
Thank you, Jody. Good morning, everyone. Susan G. recovered in Los Angeles, California. Okay, on the third day, the lawyer gave his life to the care and direction of his creator, and said he was perfectly willing to do anything necessary. His wife came, scarcely daring to be hopeful, though she thought she saw something different about her husband already. He had begun to have a spiritual experience. Well, good morning, everybody. I've been coming into these rooms for a long, long time, and it took a long, long time for me to feel willing, let alone perfectly willing, to do anything necessary. And in the paragraphs that we've been reading and over the last few days, he's been given a lot of love and a lot of hope. When I used to come in and out of these meetings and sing the steps off of the wall, I didn't have the same feeling that I had when I met somebody who had put their hand in the hand of God and was holding this book and started to take me through. And just like we've read before, I always swore off and was eating, we were lucky if it was by 9 o'clock in the morning, and always spoke to God on Sunday nights and cried, mainly because I didn't know what I was going to wear to work the next day. I don't know that I was perfectly willing to do anything necessary, but having taken a really solid step one and started out on a different relationship with the God of my understanding, because I never didn't believe, but I just didn't know how to access God. And here I've been shown a different way by waking up and having these spiritual awakenings and experiences. And by having willingness, it's unlocked the door of grace. So I can keep on pushing it open and open. So I would probably be fibbing if I told you I was perfectly willing to do anything necessary. And whenever I work with newcomers, there's always a list of, well, I'll never do this and I'll never do that, because our basic instincts get right in there and I start to clench my fists together. But today, from having seen all the miracles that God performs around me, and especially, that's interesting, possibly. And the door starts to open and I start to have a different experience. So I'm constantly having these emotional rearrangements. And I know for me, you know, having lost and gained over 100 pounds many, many times, my family wasn't quite sure and they didn't say anything. And the best thing of all was I stopped saying anything, because whenever I was on a diet, you all had to suffer. You all had to hear it. And there was no God in that. And this time something changed. Something changed in me. And it was the quietness and the stillness. And that all started from starting my day with God and taking God with me wherever I went. God and I have literally traveled the world together. Hasn't let me down so far. So thank you so much for allowing me to be of service. And I look forward to hearing from everyone. Back over to you, Jody. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan G. from California. All right, I'll take a list of names of people who would like to share on this paragraph, page 158, the second paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Karen KZ in Missouri.
Karen KZ.
Roz G.
Roz G. Anyone else? Page 158, paragraph 2. On the third day, the lawyer gave life. All right, let's go with Karen K. Oh, Jeff? Okay, Jeff.
Jeff A.
Mm-hmm. Jeff A. Gotcha, Jeff. Okay, let's go with those three. Karen KZ, Roz G, and Jeff A. Please go ahead, Karen.
Hi, everyone. This is Karen KZ, gratefully recovered in Missouri. And I love the first sentence, on the third day, the lawyer gave his life to the care and direction of his creator and said he was perfectly willing to do anything necessary. Gosh, how I wish I had done that on the third day. I've been in the program since 1987. And I gave mouth to that. I did, on the third step, I said, made a decision to surrender my will and my life. I didn't do that at all for all those years until I got a vision sponsor in 2022 and worked this program using the directions in the big book. And that's been the difference for me. It is, I still would like to manage and control, but thank goodness to this program, I realized that I don't know what's right for anybody, not even me. And that is, I every day invite my higher power, who is God, to take me over. In fact, I have a little prayer I was given that I wake up with. Take me over, God, take me over. Think through me your thoughts. Speak through me your words. Act through me your actions for your glory, for my healing and the healing of the world. And I do that first thing. That's the first thing I do when I wake up. But I try to remember to do that through the day because I can still take it back. If I give everything and invite God into everything, the miracles and the blessings in my life. The other thing is, I used to find everything that was wrong with myself and everybody. And today, I look for what's right. In fact, part of my two-way instructions every day is to look for and find me, which means good, in everyone and everything, every second of this day. And when I replace that finding fault with finding the good, because it's in all of us, then my life is beautiful and God just does things. God takes over. I'm not changing me. God is changing me. But I have to be willing to invite God and to let God take me over and guide my day. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Karen KZ from Missouri. Roz G from California, please share.
Good morning, Jody, and thanks everybody for your shares and your service. I'm Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Palmdale, California, which is in the county of Los Angeles. And I would like to focus on the sentence that says, his wife came, scarcely daring to be hopeful, though she thought she saw something different about her husband already. He had begun to have a spiritual experience. This program, in the doctor's opinion, tells me that in order for me to be relieved of compulsive overeating, I need to have a psychic change, an essential psychic change, a necessary psychic change. I need to be different, a different person than I was when I came in, not only with the food, but with my personality, with how I treat people, with my character defects, and my ego. And that has taken a lot of ego reduction at depth in my life. I was a jealous person, starving for attention, needing people to affirm me, and so needy. And that really turned a lot of people off. And as I been taking these steps, working with people, getting my ego continually reduced, you know, I have a spiritual experience and I can hear God. And how do I know that? I know that through the reactions that I get from the people around me, because my primary purpose is to be of maximum service to God and the people about me. So people call me. I really liked what you had to say. Your recovery is very attractive to me. Or at work, yesterday a teacher came up to me and we were just talking about some things and she said, you know, you have amazing energy. You're serious, but then you're not. You know, you like to laugh. You like to have a good time. And, we had a faculty meeting last May where we did, you know, just karaoke. And I got up there and I sang Donna Summer and I danced around the gym and I had so much fun. And people didn't know that about me. Why? Because I was shy. I was embarrassed. I just had a complex. But I don't have that anymore. I don't care really what people think of me. I want to be liked. I want to be kind and loving and tolerant to others. But I also want to have my personality, which was totally disappeared when I was in the food. So, you know, I've had a psychic change. I have a spiritual experience. I'm a changed woman. But, you know, that doesn't mean that I'm cured. That means that I have to stay in fit spiritual condition and do this work every day. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. from California. Jess, thank you.
Yeah, Jeff, this is Jeff A., right. For me, I've been in another 12-step program for many, many, many years. And occasionally I had a strong impression that I should go to OA. But I was like, no, I have other challenges in my life. And I wasn't obese, so I figured it wasn't, that had nothing to do with me. And then about three years ago, and I'm with the other program, I'm a sponsor and I try and be helpful to people and so forth. My higher power just said out of the blue, you need to go to OA. And I was kind of shocked about it because at the time I was doing Weight Watchers and I was close to my goal weight. And, but, you know, I had told him that I would try and do whatever he wanted me to do. And so I thought, well, I could not do this, but I made kind of tried to make a commitment one day at a time that I'd try and do it his way. And so I went to a meeting as soon as I could get to the next meeting. But I thought I was there to help somebody else. I didn't realize it was me. And once I realized that it was me, I was so angry. I was so angry that whole year. And I went every week, sometimes two or three times a week. And every time I was angry in the shares that I have so many other challenges in my life. And then I'm still to go here. But I did it his way. I did it kicking and screaming. And I had a sponsor. And then it didn't work out for me because and this is okay for her, but she said we could do our alcoholic food and still call myself sober. And I had done that in the other program too, until I couldn't do that either. So I found another sponsor, and he was sober eating is what he's calling. And it's not Vision for You, but it's very, I guess it's similar. And if you do any of your alcoholic foods, well, for me, I have to start over from day one for the sober part. I might be on step 6 or 7 or 10 or whatever, but I got to start over because
that's
for
so
the
reminded.
Okay, it's what 1, 2, 3. I was almost done. I know. For me, it meant that I needed to hold on. My brain got messed up right there. Basically, to be, I needed to have. When you're actually an alcoholic, you end up maybe losing your life, you know, whereas eating, you have to do this 3 times a day. So, but I worked hard with him and I'm doing with him now, whatever he tells me to do. And that was hard for me too. But anyways, so this is where it went for me. And I've just finished 1 year of sobriety. And it's been hard, but good. Thank heavens. So, okay,
where are you from?
California.
California. Thank you so much. That was Jeff A. from California. And who else would like to share on this paragraph? We're on page 158. The second paragraph that begins, on the third day, the lawyer gave his life. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too.
Kara L.
Laura W., New Jersey.
Okay, Kara L., Laura W.
Dawn B.
Dawn B. All right, very good. We'll go with Kara L., Laura W. and Dawn B. Please go ahead, Kara.
Good morning, my fellows. This is Kara L., a recovered compulsive overeater from California. On the third day, with the third step in a will in my life over the care of God, how many times in my program over the last 20 years I've thought I've done that? And I have, when I read that line, I have that picture of when it actually happened. And there was no fanfare. There was nothing special about the day or the time. I was sitting on my bed doing some work that my sponsor had given me. And I just remember looking up and just thinking about my foods and thinking about things. And I just said, all right. That was it. There's no special prayer I said. There was no anything. It was just you're right. I can't. I've tried everything I know how to do. And moving forward from that moment, when I am trying to get things my own way because I'm trying to smooth things out or I'm trying to do everything, I have to take the step back and just say, God, I don't know what I'm doing. And you think, all right, whatever. And that's it. Nothing special, just enough to say, I'm tired. I'm tired of trying and pushing and doing. And okay, whatever you want. And, you know, every single time I do that with something that I've decided that I have a solution to and I get tired and frustrated or my life is overwhelming about or whatnot, I just have to take a step back and go, all right, whatever. I don't ask how it needs to be solved or give me inspiration or anything. At those moments, I just let go. And every single time, my higher power responds with something better than I could have ever thought about. It's a hard thing to do, and when I get there, I'm always amazed at the beauty and the wonder of my higher power. But I pass.
Thank you so much, Kara L. from California. Laura W., please go ahead.
Thanks, Jerry. Good morning. Thanks so much, everybody. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. And yeah, you know, on the third day, the lawyer gave his life to the care and direction of his creator. It doesn't say on the third day he decided again. And it doesn't say on the third day he decided he was going to stay sober and, you know, white knuckle it for the rest of his life. And this really reminds me that this is not about the food for me. You know, anorexic, I was starving myself, I was purging through exercise. Food and dieting and losing weight and numbers were my God. And until I realized that my real higher power, sorry, my dog's going to bark. My real higher power is God and has nothing to do with the food. Yes, the food has to be down, the food has to be clean. I need to be eating abstinently and consistently. But, you know, it's really this program, this 12-step program is about surrendering my selfish self to something greater than myself and to say, you know what? I know nothing. I know nothing about how to control my food, my weight, my exercise. I'm going to surrender to something bigger than me. I'm going to throw up my hands and say, take me, God. Take everything that I think I know and just let me do what you want me to do. And it's so freeing when I do that on a daily basis. For 19 years, I've been doing that. And you know, not every day it's great, but every day I'm abstinent. And every day, you know, it's better than being in the food, that's for sure. Even the worst day of being in recovery is better than the best day of being in the food. That's my experience. So I'm just grateful for the reminder that this is about surrender to a higher power. It's not about stopping eating or stopping drinking. You know, because it can go to any substance. It could be about shopping or sex or, you know, any other addiction. This is not a self-help program. This is a God program. There's no God part of it, in my opinion. Every single paragraph in this book brings me back to God. Thanks for listening, Erica.
Thank you so much, Laura W. from New Jersey. Dawn B., please go ahead.
Good morning. This is Dawn B., recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Beautiful shares that have happened so far in this meeting. On the third day, he gave his life to the care and direction of his creator, and said he was perfectly willing to do anything necessary. What a beautiful surrender that depicts. And I noticed the words care and direction of his creator. That actually is from the third step. When it first came out, the original version of the manuscript that was passed around to AA members prior to the first edition, step three said, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care and direction of God as we understood him. So for me, that reminds me of an opportunity I have through this program, moment by moment, to seek my higher power's care and to seek my higher power's direction, to surrender to that on a moment-by-moment, daily basis throughout the day. Recently, I got a letter regarding my daughter's, who has a disability, her services that are being denied. And normally that would have just thrown me into an incredible, loop of anger and fear and whatever. And now, today, I am, because of this program, I get to practice seeing my challenges as opportunities given to me by life to help me learn and grow as a human being. So instead of reacting as I normally do, launching into fighting everything and everyone, I pause and I ask God for the right thought, an intuitive thought or an action. I practice carrying the vision of God's will into all my activities. So even with this upsetting situation, pausing, stepping back and saying, how can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. And just as this paragraph says, it reminds me, that I need to be willing to do anything necessary to surrender, to place myself wholeheartedly, my life, everything, into the care and direction of my Creator, practicing making God's will my only goal. So whatever your will is, God, even if it may be the last thing that I want, I accept it, I welcome it, and I say thank you. May your will be done, not mine, God. May your will be my only goal. I place my whole life into your care and your direction, and I am willing today. I am willing to do anything. May your will be my only goal. And that just produces, like it says in there, then he had a spiritual experience. And for myself, when I do that, I experience an amazing presence of my higher power. Thank you so much for letting me share.
And thank you so much for sharing, Dawn B. from California. All right. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. We are sharing on the second paragraph on page 158, which begins on the third day. Who else would like to share?
Sherry W., Nevada.
Sherry W., I heard. And who else?
Thank you. Elaine B.
Elaine B.
Robert W., Washington State.
Who was that in Washington State?
Barbara W.
Okay. Barbara W.
K.L. in Iowa.
K.L. in Iowa.
Chris T. in Oregon.
Okay, let's stop there. Chris T. in Oregon. I have Sherry W., Elaine B., Barbara W., K.L., and Chris T. Please go ahead, Sherry W.
And thank you for letting me share. At the risk of repetition, the shares were very comprehensive this morning. But for me personally, I have daily repetition so I never forget that it, God is in charge, not me. And that's where all the steps come in. First step, saying I'm powerless. Second, I believe in God. And the third, I made the decision to turn my life and my will over to His care. And when I do that, the spiritual experience remains in control of my program and my abstinence and my way of life and my serenity. So I can't have that if I say that I'm powerless 1 minute and then take my will back and do what I want to do. So it's a daily reminder, and that's the key to my spiritual experience. Not my ego, not any other negative forces that are in the world, but I focus on God living in my heart, because I died to myself. So I said, okay, now I take on God. And there it is, His job to direct me, my job to ask Him for His directions, my job to do His directions. And what we're going to read in a few days is that on page 164, that He will reveal to me and to the rest of us more and more each time, each day. And I'm grateful. I'm really grateful for that. Maybe if I heard all of it at once, I'd either not be able to absorb it and not be able to handle it. But He knows when I'm ready, and He knows that I'm willing. And I'm grateful for that, and I'm grateful for being able to let Him run my life. Thanks for letting me share. God bless you, and thanks for your service.
Where are you from, Sherry?
Nevada.
Nevada. Thank you so much. Sherry W. from Nevada. Elaine B., please go ahead.
Thanks for your service, Penny. I see. So appreciate it. So on the third day, so this shows the consistency that we have coming back to people who maybe aren't willing, aren't ready, but we can keep working with them and encouraging them. We don't know when it's going to happen, when a heart opens. But here, for this lawyer, it was the third day. And he gave his life to the care. It's like that his creator would take care of him and the direction. So I love that acrostic for God, good orderly direction. And how am I going to get it if I don't go to God? My biggest problem is I get into self-will run riot, and then, you know, it's a riot. It's no fun. It's no good. It doesn't work out. It's not God's best. It's not a page 100, paragraph 1 promise where it's better than anything I could have planned. But when I partner with God, not only does the food situation, I'm so grateful, I celebrated 10 years of abstinence a couple weeks ago, and, you know, that really is thanks to a vision for you, to these steps, but most of all, my higher power. And I need to be perfectly willing to do anything necessary, not just to maintain my abstinence, to carry the message like these people were, but to continue turning my will and my life over to God, to asking for that good, orderly direction. I know food was about ease and comfort for me. And the times that I felt most dis-ease and most discomfort is when I don't know what to do. And I think it's up to me to figure it out. When I was in my relapse, my husband gave me a letter and said, you've taken on a new lover and it's food. And, you know, divorce isn't an option for us, but we're going to live separately. A year after I got recovered, I found the letter and I was like, whoa, Nellie, oh my gosh, I couldn't even handle it yet. And I put it away. I found it another year later. And at that time, I needed to come. I felt like God said, this is the time, bring that letter to Him. He read the letter. I had changed so much because of these steps, because of cooperating with God, which I still strive to. I still need to grow in that area. It's the most important thing. He didn't even remember writing the letter. And since then, you know, the things which come to us are just better than anything we could plan. And so we can begin to have a spiritual experience, and we can enhance it, continue to grow it every single day. the most important thing. Abstinence is very important, but following the dictates of a higher power, getting our care and our direction from God, boy, that's better than anything. I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Elaine B. from Massachusetts. You from Washington, please go ahead.
Barbara W. from Washington State. The one out of all these, the one phrase that jumped right out at me was scarcely hopeful. And I know it was the wife who was being scarcely hopeful, but I would imagine anyone that's working to find a source of strength and wisdom would be scarcely hopeful, because when a life has been spent, I've been in program decades, and I remember the discouragement and the pain of why am I back in the food again and feeling so hopeless. And I said, gosh darn it, I'm running out of money. This is not, a single woman, and I can't do this. And so I would get very depressed. I remember that. And scarcely hopeful is how it began. Something, I know it was a gift of desperation, but being scarcely hopeful that, gosh darn, I messed up time and time again. What makes me think this time's going to be any better? You know, I get mad at myself, angry at myself, and very frustrated. But once that scarcely hope, I call that a glimmer of hope, one of my favorite phrases. That glimmer of hope is what is I want to call it the hook, but it's that connection with my higher power that I'm starting to find, and there's something within me that's moving slowly, but it's moving, and I have a reason to be hopeful and to be giving the courage to push forward. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Barbara W. from the state of Washington. KL from Iowa, please share with us.
Hi, this is KL. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good, good. Okay, so I love this this story, because it reminds me so much of some spiritual lesson that I kind of learned along the way. So like we all know, we do our amends directly and immediately, and then we also know we won't conscious. We're always working on conscious contact. My life is one big prayer of thy will be done. But what I've noticed, and I hear it in this reading, is not just in the beginning when I first surrender to that loving, caring, higher power, but every time my brain goes into that fear mode, something happens and it really shakes me, and I go back to that, I need to do something, or I need to eat to make this pain go away. And then I'm always back at step three, which is kind of what they're talking about here. And it one of the deals I've made with God, because I am so quick to do stuff, I'm strong-willed, and I think I've got the right idea and this must happen, but I will turn it over to my higher power, and I say, okay, I'm going to give it to you for 3 days. And if in 3 days I still feel like this is a good idea, or I really think that food will fix this, then we'll talk. But I've noticed I say 3 days, but it always happens. For me, it has always happened before then. All of a sudden, the peace comes over me. All of a sudden, I'm thinking differently. Or just the urgency has passed, and I'm like, the next morning, it's like, oh, the morning me is going, woohoo, thank God, because it usually happens in the evening if it's just a food call. But anyway, in the morning or the afterwards, when I see how God sort of worked everything out without me meddling, I'm just so grateful that I waited to make that conscious contact, sort of disengage the fear, whatever that fear button is in my brain. And so I use this all the time when I'm just in those difficult spots, let's put it that way. All right, that's all I got. Pass. Thanks. Oh, and thank you for your service, too. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you, KL from Iowa. Chris T from Oregon, please go ahead. Chris, press
Hello.
Star.
Hello, thank you. How is everybody doing?
Good, we hear you.
I was just looking at the, or listening to this group, and the last statement in that paragraph, that the man's wife noticed that her husband was having a spiritual experience. We find ourselves in this group demonizing and condemning our past, but in reality, what did we learn from our experience? In my mind, there's no such thing as sin if we have learned something from our experiences. I found a prayer in my pursuits that really touches my heart. And as I read this, see if it doesn't touch every one of you. I asked for strength, and God gave me difficulties to make me strong. I asked for wisdom, and God gave me problems to solve. I asked for courage, and God gave me dangers to overcome. I asked for love, and God gave me troubled people to help. My prayers were answered. When I was unclear as to my purpose in life, God made it clear to me by bringing me students to teach. So we are gaining strength by the grace of God only because He has given us a difficulty that when we pursue a relationship with God, God opens our eyes to understand what His purpose is for us. My own problems are actually solved when I feel hungry. I realize that my hunger is to help somebody else. And with that, I end my statement.
Thank you so much, Chris T. from Oregon. Well, we're about out of time. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will, I believe it's Kara L., please read our closing.
Good morning, my fellows. Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater. California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly give more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. Transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.